All right, everyone, welcome to another episode of O365A. In this episode, we're going to be talking a little bit about the Teams extensibility and app development. So with us on the call, we have a guest, Scott Stubberfield, who is a senior program manager at Microsoft with the engineering team in Teams. So Scott, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and how long you've been with Microsoft?
Yeah, thanks, guys. So I've been at Microsoft a long time. This May was actually my 14 years that I've been at Microsoft. I first started back in Microsoft Consulting Services, and I've had various different roles as both a consultant and now in the last 7 to 8 years in various different roles in engineering. Usually always have been customer facing, even in my roles in Teams and Skype engineering. I've still been customer facing. It's something I really like to do and always made sure that that was included in whatever role that I had.
Awesome. Yeah, that's quite a long stint so far, right? So so given that you've had like this long tenure there, you've seen a lot of different things. Now, obviously, we're talking about the extensibility side of Microsoft Teams. Maybe give us, what is the vision of the extensibility with regards to no code, low code, and sort of what your thoughts are heading into the fiscal year 20?
Yeah, so I think heading into this fiscal year, which for us in Microsoft starts in a couple of weeks in July 1st, one of the big things that we're going to be focused on this year is helping customers take advantage of the platform of Teams. And what we mean by that is, Teams itself, is an application, and it's as we talk about it, it's the hub for applications within Office 365. But more than that, it's actually the place where we expect people to go to work with other people to get stuff done. So Teams and the core applications and the core functionality in Teams enables that out of the box. But what we're seeing with customers and where we're really seeing Teams be sticky and seeing it kind of bring people in and keep them there is by bringing the other applications that they already use and the services that people interact with and bringing those into Teams for them. And so we do that in Teams in a couple of different ways. And I like to, when I explain this to people, I like to talk about, we have two different, really different types of applications. So we have ready to use applications, and then everything else is what we consider to be a custom application. And so by ready to use applications, those could be applications that are part of Office 365 that we leverage in Teams, things such as Planner, Power BI, Forms, Flow. Those are Office 365 services that you just simply plug into Teams, or ready-to-use applications from partners such as Poly, Trello, GitHub, Adobe. And again, those are applications built on top of our Teams app platform that you can bring in into Teams and use today. Anything else is considered a custom application, whether you as a partner, as an ISV, as a software developer build it, to resell into the app marketplace, whether you're contracted to build it directly for an end customer, whether a customer's development team builds it for themselves, or whether it's just you hacking away in your lab and building something, everything else is considered to be a custom application. Make sense?
Yeah.
So again, if you build something and you as a software, an ISV or software developer, if you built something and you published it in the marketplace, it then becomes a ready to use application for all other customers in the Microsoft sphere.
Awesome. God, I love the Teams as a platform message. And you started to outline, but could you outline the differences from a true ready to use app versus that custom app you were talking about?
Yeah. Oh, sorry. What are the differences?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I would say that the differences on the, on the ready to use side, it's really about configuration and how I teach my people how to use this specific ready to use application. So if I use a very basic example, Poly, for example, how do I get Poly into a team? How do I get people using Poly within a team? Can I use Poly in a chat? Can I use Poly in a group chat? Can I use Poly in meetings? Basically, teaching people how to use that ready to use application. Whereas if I'm going to build a custom application, I'm going into a business and trying to understand, what is your workflow? How do people interact outside of Teams today? What are manual processes that people are doing? How could we then take those manual processes, build them into a custom application, and then deploy that within Teams? That's kind of how I like to think of the differences.
I see Poly as one of the first ready-to-use apps that it really leverages all the ways of using extensibility in Teams. It's actually pretty amazing that you can, you know, spin up these forms pretty much anywhere within Teams.
Yeah.
From the custom app side, I see some businesses kind of jumping into that side out of the gate using building out processes around lifecycle around Teams. So using Power Apps and Flow and Forms and the Microsoft Graph. So it's interesting to see how businesses are taking little bits of kind of both ecosystems and surfacing that for their users.
Yeah, for sure. And like you mentioned, so Poly takes advantage of a bot, right? And all a bot is it's a way of your users in Teams interacting with that service. And all that service is a web service. And so when I try to explain to people what is a bot in Teams, they think it's this like magical, like real artificial intelligence running on some far end. It's not. It's just a web service. It's no different than when you open up your Google Chrome browser or your, you know, Chromium browser in Edge or Internet Explorer, and you go to www.microsoft.com, your web browser is saying to that web service, give me some data, and that web service is giving you back that data and presenting it in a web browser. A Teams bot, that's all it is. It's just we're interacting with it in a different way, and you're connecting to that web service and saying, hey, tell me what the weather is in Toronto today. The weather in Toronto is, you know, 13 degrees Celsius and potential of rain. And so that's really all a bot is, and that's one of the big kind of, I wouldn't call it hurdles or stumbling blocks, but I think light bulbs start to go off when I talk to my customers and people about the platform and I explain to them that that's all a bot is. Then they go, oh, okay, that's simple. I can understand that. I can wrap my head around it.
That's great. So Scott, like thinking about the non-developer community, people that don't write code, I'll put my hand up as well. So how can anyone take advantage of Teams as a platform when they don't know how to write any lines of code?
Yeah, so I think there's a couple of really great options. One, obviously ready to use applications that we talked about, and I don't need to drill into those anymore. But there's a couple of really great alternatives that we're coming out with for folks who really don't want to write code or maybe write very little amount of code. So if you actually go online and search for Microsoft Teams app templates, we've released two app templates already. And the first app template that we release is one that we call stickers. So in Teams, you have the ability to go in and click on the sticker button and it goes out to stickers that we provide from Microsoft and you can include those into your chats and your conversations. Well, let's say you were an organization that wanted to extend that and you wanted to include your own stickers, or maybe you were a retailer and you wanted people to share product shots and product images amongst people. You can use that stickers application where basically you get a configuration page, you just upload images, and then it creates a messaging extension in Teams that your users can click on. It opens up and it displays those stickers, and then they can then insert them into their chat. And we as Microsoft have written that app template. We've published it on GitHub, so all the source code is available. There's deployment instructions on how to deploy that app within your environment, so you can make it a line of business app in your environment. You can deploy it to Azure. You can get it up and running. I did this in my lab in preparation for a session a couple weeks ago. It takes about 25 minutes from start to finish. And it's a fully functional application, including configuration, the end user experience, the setup, the configuration, it's all there. So that's one example. And the second example is a really cool one that when we published it as an app template, we called it Icebreakers. And this actually came from an internal deployment. One of our PMs wanted to build an app to allow people that are on the team that don't know each other to just kind of get to know each other in an informal way. And so what the Icebreakers app does is it takes everyone who's a member of the team and at random pairs them up, sends them a Teams message, a chat message, and says, for this week, you've been paired with Dino. Would you like to start a chat with Dino? Would you like to set up a meeting? Would you like to do this? And we actually present different links in that chat it's one adaptive card, and that adaptive card has instructions and actions that you can click on to then take actions within Teams. And so you can go out to Teams app templates, you can get Icebreakers, you can deploy it into your environment as is. You do nothing else to it, just deploy it, set it up, add people to Teams, and it'll start pairing them up to have these little meetups go on. So.
Cool.
So I think that's one great way. Was there a question?
Oh no, I was just going to say that's really interesting seeing the evolution of this as a platform, and with things like you just described, I think that's a really great way for non-developers to get business processes lit up in Microsoft Teams. And we've seen this Teams as a platform really mature now, and Teams adoption is now, you know, well on its way. I was just curious where you see this going in terms of both low code, no code, and just the future of Teams as a development environment. Anything you can talk about in terms of future direction or where this is headed?
So we're continuing. So those two app templates that I talked about that we delivered, we have a whole team that's dedicated to building these app templates, and it's based on a mix of customer demand. It's based on a mix of what we think we can get done in a realistic time frame. What's something that's reusable by mass quantities of customers without additional customization? So we're not going to build every app, you know, out there and in the world, but the idea is that we want to give customers things that, like, kind of snackable items that they can just bring in and they can use. And I really think it's a first step. It's not, you know, we're going to build every app that you ever want to use in Teams, but if we can give you an app that you can deploy in 25 minutes in your environment and get everyone in your environment communicating on Teams in that app, that's a huge win, right? So then we can show the power of that platform and show the power of what it takes and how you interact with all those different components within Teams.
Yeah, that's really cool. And I know, Scott, you've been involved in some strategic customer engagements, and just you interface with a lot of customers. What do you see as the primary, I don't know, top one or two extensibility wins that common customers really get from an extensibility perspective?
So I think the ones that I've seen that have been really easy wins is, you know, where there's, so you have Teams, and then you have three other applications that you interact with, and people are having to constantly context switch. So if I use Jira, for example, if I'm a developer and I'm in DevOps, and I've got Teams, and then I've got Jira, and I'm switching back and forth, and I'm going from here and I'm going to there, the idea of bringing all that Jira functionality into Teams, or whether it's Azure DevOps, and the ability to natively from within Teams search for an item, post that into a channel, or it's a connector, bringing that information from that other surface and surfacing it in Teams, and allowing that conversation and that way that people work to occur consistently within Teams in the same way, no matter what data it is that we're talking about. That's where I've seen customers really see easy wins, and they go, wow, this is awesome. Like, no longer do I have to go check this other thing to see if there's a new update. It's automatically prompting me in Teams, and I can now just live in that team space and know the channels that I need to go and look at. There was a really cool example, and I wish I had the video up, but I think it's on our developer platform YouTube series that one of our PMs did at, I believe it was Ignite last year, where it basically showed where someone was going in and updating a SharePoint list. And by updating that SharePoint list, we were dynamically updating channel names and showing channel names to be red, green, yellow. And so if you think of that, the demo was in a manufacturing scenario. So you had someone who was responsible for monitoring manufacturing lines. And so they could go in and say, oh, that line's down. They would change that line to red, and that channel name would change from, you know, line A and then a green circle to line A with a red circle. So literally all they had to do was go in and look at Teams, and they could see visually what was going on in their environment. So again, I think bringing that, you know, stuff that was going on outside and bringing that into Teams, I think that's where we see the power of it.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, I think, thank you, Scott, for coming on and sharing your insights with regards to app development and the extensibility platform. Definitely really exciting things coming down, especially with the template functionality. I'll definitely be taking advantage of that, being a no-coder myself. Thanks everybody for listening in, and hopefully we'll catch you on the next episode.
Cool. See you,
everyone.